I've got a reading for you tonight from John chapter 11. I'm going to read this to you now. Be prepared. John chapter 11 is really long, so this may take some time. John chapter 11. Jesus wept. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the reading. This chapter, which is very long if I read it to you, is all about Lazarus. Lazarus, good friend of Jesus, supported his ministry. They hung out together. Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were hospitable to Jesus. And the story is this. Jesus is way some distance away, certainly a couple of days' journey, and Mary sent him word saying, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus then decides to stay where he is for two further days. Then he says to his disciples, let's go and see Lazarus. And there then comes some interesting conversations. Then he gets to where he's going, meets Martha, and he talks to her, says some fantastic words like, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Tremendously powerful words. And he says to her, Martha, do you believe this? And then he talks to Mary at the graveside, and it says at that point in time, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Very powerful words, because Jesus, God in a man, God incarnate, unique, no one else like him, Jesus wept. I don't know about you, but I weep. I think most of us, if we're honest, will admit that occasionally we weep. And Jesus wept. He understands where we are. But I want to just talk to you tonight about those people that didn't understand. It says when Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus is dead, therefore we're going to go now. He says to them, I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let's go to him. Then Thomas said to his fellow disciples, let's go so that we may die with him. Now Jesus wasn't saying, Lazarus is dead, let's all go and die with him. But Thomas got it all mixed up. Thomas got totally the wrong end of the stick. Oh, we ought to go and die with him. Well, let's go then. Lazarus is dead. Let's all go. Let's all die. You know, there were a few of those disciples that were a bit political. And they were, you know, they were a bit radical. And Thomas clearly had a bit of that in him. A bit of the martyrdom theology. But Philip got it wrong. When Jesus went to Martha, and he says all this wonderful stuff about the resurrection, he says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Martha got it wrong. Jesus was saying what was about to happen. Jesus was saying to Thomas, let's go to where Lazarus is now. We're going to have a party when we get there because he's getting up. But Thomas got it wrong. He says to Martha, your brother will rise again. But Martha gets it all wrong. She, oh, well, yeah, on the last day, you know, when everyone stands before God, everyone will rise from the dead. But she got it wrong. Verse 38, Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, he already stinks. It's been 4 days. She got it wrong again. Isn't it sad that when Jesus is getting the grave open so he can tell a man to rise from the dead, someone says, but don't do it, Lord, it stinks. Isn't it terrible when we miss the point? Some people think that what we have is a simply a religion. I've talked to a man outside tonight who has a religion. You know, there are plenty of people who have a religion. But I don't know about you, I have a relationship. You see, I can honestly say I've met God. I can honestly say God's met me. I can tell you that Jesus encountered me, and like the lost coin, like the lost sheep, like the lost son, he welcomed me into his family. Why is it that everybody gets it wrong? Why is it so many people misunderstand when Jesus is actually really simple? Verse 43 says this, after Jesus had said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. What if Lazarus had got it wrong? What if Lazarus misunderstood what Jesus was saying? But Lazarus got it right. Lazarus got up and came out. Everyone else was terrified. Can you imagine it? They used to wrap them head to foot tightly in bandage. Well, it's not quite like the mummy, but it's sort of like that. Can you imagine him coming out of the tomb? And the people are screaming. They're going absolutely balmy because nobody has quite got this yet. But Jesus was simply telling Lazarus to get up, and he had authority to do that. Jesus has the right to say to you, get up. Get up. Do you know something? We've got to get this right because it's a matter of life and death. Lazarus could have happily stayed in that tomb because we believe his soul was already with God. He was probably sipping nectar in paradise. You know, whatever he was doing, I don't know, but he was having a great time because he was where God is. But when he heard the voice of Jesus, Lazarus realized it meant, go back to your body, Lazarus, and wake up. And he did. And then Jesus had to say to the crowds, loose him and let him go. I wonder how long it took them to do it. I can believe them saying, I'm not going near him. And, you know, if it's true that Martha was right, that he did stink, then he might not have stunk anymore, but his bandages would have done. You know, who wants to go near a man that's been a bit stinky? Put your hands up, volunteers now, I'd like to set up a rota for next week. You know, we're not going to rush, are we? But they did loose him and let him go. And thank God for that. You know, everything that happened next hinged on this one event. The people who were so religious they hated Jesus determined that day they would kill him. And they also wanted to kill Lazarus. Because how can you persuade people not to follow a man that's just raised the dead? You know, they struggle to raise more than one cup at a time. And they couldn't help Lazarus. But Jesus could. How powerful. What authority this man has. And you know something? I want to tell you now that whatever your need is tonight, Jesus wants to speak into your life. And he has the power to make things right. Do you know, you might feel your life's at the, you come to the end of your life. You might feel it's not worth carrying on. I don't know what's going on in your life. It might be hell. But do you know what? Jesus is here. And you might say, well, I don't see him. Well, I don't see him, but I know he is here. And the Jesus who said to Lazarus, Lazarus, get out of there, come over here. We're having a party tonight. That Jesus is here and speaking to you. And whatever your need tonight, that Jesus is big enough, powerful enough, has the authority to speak over your life, and indeed can speak life into you. When you've got someone as dead as a dodo, as dead as nails, absolutely cold and stinky as a corpse comes, and Jesus comes along and says, get up. That corpse cannot stay down. Cannot. Cannot. Lazarus had to obey the voice of his friend Jesus. And I want to say to you tonight, it's good to have friends like Jesus. And that's why tonight I am inviting you to follow Jesus. Just as everyone that Jesus met, he would say to them, follow me. Why did he do that? Because it's good to follow Jesus. It's worthwhile. It's satisfying. And it's better. Life's better. Life is better when you follow Jesus. But ultimately, to follow him, you've got to change. You've got to make a decision. You know, it's not like giving up smoking. It's bigger than that. You've got to redirect your life. And yet, it's easier than giving up smoking. Because Jesus will help you. He will give you all that you need to follow him. So tonight, I just want to ask you this. Will you respond to Jesus tonight? I'm not asking you to join a religion. I'm asking you to enter into a relationship. I talk to Jesus every day. I talk to God. And God talks to me. Jesus promises he will never leave you. If you once come to him, he will never leave you. And we have a lady in this church, she's not here tonight, but she had a big stroke in December. And she said to me, when she was recovering in hospital, she said, Stephen, I found myself on the floor, alone in the house, and I thought, I'm going to die here, and no one's going to know. No one's going to be with me when I die. And she said, at that time, all of a sudden, I felt someone on the floor with me. And she said, I thought this was weird because I know I'm alone in this house. But I can feel there is someone near to me. And with that, the penny dropped. She realized Jesus had come to lay on the floor where she was. And she said, then I didn't fear. And with that, she was able to pull the phone off the wall, able to press 999, and they came, smashed the door in, took her to hospital. And she said to me, you know, I knew that Jesus was with me. Can I tell you something? If you're laid on the floor, immobile, because of a stroke, you need to know Jesus is with you. And whatever you're going through right now, you need to know that Jesus is with you. Whatever you're facing, you need to know somebody's with you. And how much more could you need anybody than Jesus? Son of God, perfect man, perfect God, who actually cares about you so much that from time to time, he shed a tear for you, just like he did for Lazarus. But tonight, he wants to welcome you. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? I want to ask you tonight, will you follow Jesus? I don't want to embarrass you, and I don't want you to come out to the front, and I don't want you to have to sort of say anything publicly. But I feel tonight I need to ask you this. Will you decide from today forwards to get to know Jesus? If you do that, I guarantee you, he will get to know you. And if you want to do that tonight, then I'm going to pray a prayer. And I would like you to pray it after me. You don't have to say it aloud. You just have to mean it to God. It's a very simple prayer. Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. And I ask for forgiveness for all the ways I've failed you. I ask you to adopt me as your child. I ask you to renew me with the resurrection life of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, come hover over my life and do a creative work in me, helping me to live for God from now on. Tonight, while every head is bowed, no one is looking except me and God, I want to ask you tonight, have you prayed that prayer for the first time and meant it? If you have, just stick your arm up in the air to take it straight down. Thank you. And God will see it. I will see it. And I believe that from today onwards, a change will take place in you. Is there anyone else not going to lengthen this appeal? So, Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness and kindness. We delight in you. We thank you for your resurrection life. We thank you tonight that we haven't got it wrong, but you've helped us and we've made the right choice tonight. Father, we want to follow Jesus. Jesus, be with us now and always. Amen.